Oh, and we bout it every day, every day, every day. Like we sitting on the bench, nigga, we don't really play. Every day, every day. Fuck what anybody say. Can't see him cause the money in the way.
Please put your seats in the reclining position. You are now entering the adult zone. With La Crush and Black Reporter.
Only on Phone Fantasy Radio.
Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to Phone Fantasy Radio. I'm your hostess, Miss La Crush Hearts, representing Al. I do have a co-host, but he's running a little late right now. But, you know, we're still going to go on with this show. You could join us in the chat room. If you are listening to us live somewhere, we're on blogtalkradio.com/phonefanradio. Click on the bright red bar that says on air now, and our chat room should pop up. If you are already there, just press F5 or refresh your page, and the chat room is wide open. What else? Today is Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, June 19th. Oh my goodness, June feel like it's going by slowly and fast all at the same time. I don't know. I keep thinking summer's almost over. I don't know why summer hasn't even gotten here yet, and I keep thinking like summer's almost over, like tomorrow summer's going to be done. Why it feels like, I don't know why it feels like that to me, but it just, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out, folks, why summer is starting to feel like that to me. Anyway, you can give us a call and join the conversation or just listen by phone, 805-830-8320. That's 805-830-8320. If you want to join the conversation, press the number 1, raise your hand, and I know that you want to be down with us. Okay, so I'm a little upset right now. I'm bothered. Okay, I'm not upset. I'm bothered right now. I'm bothered right now because is it bothered or frustrated right now? It's because it's like it doesn't matter how long I've been doing this show. Mind you, Phone Fantasy Radio has been in existence since about 2007. Anyway, it doesn't matter how often or how long that I've done this show, and from 9 to 11 for the last about 3 years I have been on Tuesdays from 9 to 11, and about 1 year or year and a half have I been on Thursdays from 9 to 11. But it's like people still write you, text you, call you, disturb you with the silliest stuff. Like, I was here all day doing nothing, okay, but working on, you know, little stuff. But I wasn't busy where I couldn't answer my phone or I couldn't, you know, send an email back or send a text message back. I wasn't distracted as such. You could have hit me up all day to say, hey, how you doing? Or to ask me to look something up for you, or to ask me to search something for you or build something for you. You could have did that, but no. It's like they wait to 8:45, 8:30 to start talking, and they wanna text, they wanna write, they wanna call, they wanna smoke signals, and then they catch your attitude when you don't see that or you can't participate in that. Like, I gotta go. I can't sit up here and be at your beck and call right now. It is a hot mess. Anyway, just wanted to get it off my chest. So I'm feeling some type of way right now because of that. Just like people just not getting the hint. They just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. And it's like they're not getting the hint. Anyway, tonight is an interesting topic. We just finished celebrating Father's Day on Sunday. Hope every, you know, all the dads out there had a wonderful time, enjoyed your day, and so forth. You know, happy Father's Day for Phone Fantasy Radio. But on Father's Day, my page, on Facebook, a lot of people was sharing their dismay about certain situations where people have gave fathers shout outs to single moms or single grandparents or somebody of that's not the actual biological father. Guys was like really going in on the page, like they was really upset. When I say they was upset, they were really upset. Like, hey, mother's got this day, this is Father's Day, and they was like, why are y'all so upset? I don't get it, but I'm not a father. So tonight is for y'all. We're going to talk about water bitterness. You know, you got women sitting up there attacking their baby daddies, you know, he ain't do nothing all year, dot, dot, dot. I'm not even going to get into all that. But they was going in. So tonight, we want to explore what's the beef? What is the beef? What is all this about? What is the conclusion? What are we doing here? What the frick was going on? You know, this was supposed to be a day of celebration, happy times, good times, so forth and so forth. But yet, that's not what I seen. You know, and that's what a lot of people have not experienced during Father's Day. So that's my topic for tonight. My question is, why such bitterness comes out during Father's Day? What is it? Like, what happened? Why is it such a, you know, instead of a time for celebration, why is it looked frowned upon? You know, why the guys can't celebrate? Why all of a sudden, you know, men are feeling some type of way because their kids are not, like, it wasn't a big deal. And why is that? Why wasn't it a big deal? That's what I want to know. Mother's Day, everybody was saying Happy Mother's Day. We had Mother's Day specials, and, you know, people was out there, you know, celebrating hard for Mother's Day. Then Father's Day come around, and it's just a regular old Sunday. Nothing special is going down. Why is that? That's my question for tonight. You can give us a call at 805-830-8320 to join the conversation. That's 805-830-8320. Now, I'm not a daddy, so I really don't know why it went down like that. I don't have any children. I don't know the dynamics from mother and father. I can only go as a child looking in, you know, you know, and looking into the situation. And I don't understand. I can't comprehend. So y'all need to definitely call in and let me know, what do y'all think? What are y'all two cents? On that note, I see somebody just slid on up in here. Ow. It's the tenant from the first floor, y'all. Go tenant. Go tenant. It is the hostess with the mostest on Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. We go to her house and we have a good old time. I don't know about y'all, but I have a good old time. You know, we go into Brick's house. I put my feet up on the coffee table. I put my glass down.
No, you don't. I don't know why you're even lying.
I go in the fridge, get what I want. I come back, sit down, toss my feet up. You know, I got my soda on a table with no coaster. I get rude.
You go ahead, give them the wrong idea. Here they come in my house with that nonsense. What's up?
What's going on, Brick? How are you?
What it do?
Yeah, it's all goody, goody, good, good.
I hear that hot shit.
All that. Well, you know, I got into the topic early, And tonight we're talking about the whole bitterness of
bitterness.
Father's Day.
Now, I'm familiar with bitterness.
Right.
I have a few quite bitter myself. Yeah.
So, you know, explain to me your point of view, because like I said, I'm not a mom, so, you know, I'm only talking from the outside looking in, but let's get your perspective about the whole Father's Day celebration.
Quite frankly, the Father's Day celebration in itself, okay, Father's Day, as we all know, was this past Sunday, and, you know, Facebook can be a wonderful thing, but then again, Facebook can be an ugly thing at times. And some people use Facebook for good. A lot of people use it just for, you know, to butch up and be the man or woman they can't be in real life. And then you have others that just like to vent for their frustration and anger out on Facebook. Mm. Now, mind you, Mother's Day, it was all good. It was lovely. It was all happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, you know, the mothers. And while there are mothers out there that don't do the right thing, you understand what I'm saying? You know, there are other, you know, fathers out there that are taking on the mother role, aunts, sisters, grandmas, and mothers. So it kind of went off with a, you know, yay, Mother's Day, yay. Now, Father's Day, when it came in, kind of came in on a sour note, okay? And when I say sour note, I mean, you had a lot of bitch-assness going on out there on the Facebook boards, whereas you had a lot of women who are single, independent women, who are raising children on their own, who either know someone who's raising children on their own, or is a part of a family where their mother raised them, or everyone's affected by single parenthood, it seems. That's just the kind of times that we're living in.
Right.
You know, at one point, everybody had 2.5 kids in a car in the garage. That was the sign of those times. And unfortunately, single motherhood and single parentage is a sign of these times. So a lot of people got upset because people were chosen to celebrate Mother's Day and express Mother's Day by putting up these cute, witty little cartoons and, you know, little caricatures and little plaques, I like to call them, like inspirational plaques that say congratulations to all the mothers and all the mothers who are, you know, fathers too, congratulations to you too, and big up motherhood and all the dads that ain't doing nothing, you need to be in your kids' lives. You know, a lot of bitterness was passed on the board. I happened to see a couple of those. I happened to see a couple of posts where people actually wrote on their pages that, you know, happy Father's Day to my deadbeat who ain't did nothing for his child since he was born. I saw a lot of bitterness. But I chose to ignore that and bask in the day. Like, I honored my father. I put his display picture up on my page and said, you know, happy Father's Day to my father who is since deceased, he's passed on. And I saw a lot of that going on where a lot of people were recognized past relatives who passed on, uncles, grandfathers, whatever. But the bitch-assness of the day kind of almost ruined it for me, but I wouldn't let it. And wow, it's okay to be proud. Like, you know, I saw it as this. I'm a single mother, and I'm proud. I'm proud that I was able to raise up my child, basically with absolutely no help from his father when it came to rearing or teaching him things. And I was able to do that and still maintain myself and still, you know, manage to be myself. So that's something to be applauded and lauded by a lot of women, because sometimes you lose yourself, you know, trying to raise kids. And any parent knows that, you know, you put your child first. That is first and foremost. Before you look for something to eat, you make sure that child is eating. Before you look for something to wear, you make sure that child has shoes before you even think about buying a new shoe for your foot, you know? And it's something to be proud of. But a lot of guys out there seem that they took it the wrong way. Like we were saying, like we were being bitter, and I saw a lot of comments, can't guys get shine for one day? And why is it always, you don't see this on Mother's Day, and why is it always on Father's Day? The father has to endure such nonsense. And I, you know, at one point, about 20% of me agrees that it shouldn't be like that, because, you know, you do have, it is kind of a double standard when you think about it, because you do have mothers that don't take care of kids and stuff like that. But I felt like, it was a little bit of overkill by the fathers, because at least some of the comments that I saw, I didn't appreciate. Personally, I had two people I had to check on my page Mm-hmm. Because I put a comment up there on my page, congratulations to the single mother who's raising your kids on your own, you're something special. Something like that. It had nothing to do with your deadbeat father or, you know, men ain't shit. It had nothing to do with any of that. It was just complimenting the single mother. And I got two hateful comments put on my page. One was from somebody telling me that, well, y'all shouldn't spread your legs for anybody, so something to that effect. And the other one was more bitterness and more drama for women, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Now, I erased these two comments from my page, but not without checking these two people. Because as Facebook, you can erase their comment, and then you can, like, check them. Like you know, if you want to send them feedback on why you took their thing down, which I have most likely have no problem doing. And I just told them, please refrain from putting negative comments on my page. You know, first of all, I didn't even know these two people like that. These are two people that I have never even, I mean, I may have said hi to them once. And, you know, you don't speak to me every day. You don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what's going on. I don't talk to you. So how are you going to put something like that? You know, and this person probably hit up everybody's page that he saw that on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now my thing is, I'm from old school crush. My mother taught me a long time ago, if the shoe fits, wear it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that doesn't affect you, if you know that you do right by your kids, and you don't have a problem with your child's mother, and you know you're doing the absolute best you can by your kids, why would anything somebody post up there bother you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that, you know, quite frankly, I was disgusted by what I saw. You know, I saw a lot of guys doing it, and I don't think it was right. You know? Unfortunately, you got to face reality. There are a lot of deadbeat dads out there. Mind you, there are women out there, too. You know, I understand that. I'm not saying there's not any women out there. But what I'm saying is there are a lot of deadbeat dads out here, and it seems like say whatever you want to say about it. Okay, if you don't like the way it's recognized more than the women are recognized, hey, I don't know. What can I say? Write your union? Do something about it? I don't know. But that's the way it IS is, you know. And unfortunately, single-parent households are predominantly female or the heads of households. So you can't get away from that. So my thing is, man, if you don't like the way it's going, who has the power to change it but you? You understand what I'm saying? Get in your children's lives. If you're not in your kids' lives, okay. But you know what? Don't get mad when somebody calls you on it. Don't let the guilt hit you in the face. Just say, yo, you know what? It doesn't matter what you got going on with the mother. Trust me. Okay.
Right.
Y'all would like to make it seem like it's all the women's fault.
Right.
You know, while things are the way they are. But look at this. He was when I was sitting cast the first stone. You know, you're not perfect either. So, you know, my thing is, Crush, when it comes to being a parent, I mean, maybe I'm passionate about it because I am a parent. A lot of people would say, you know, I don't really know what the big deal was, so what? But, you know, I don't think that, you know, I deserve to be slammed on my page for acknowledging women, my sisters, in the struggle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, because there was plenty of times when, you know, I wasn't sitting in the park by myself. It was me and my girlfriend sitting in the park with our kids, teaching our kids how to ride bikes. It was us running up and down. I remember running up and down with my son, trailing with a bike, huffing and puffing in 90-degree heat, trying to get him to ride his bike. You know? I was the one that say what you want to say. I know I'm going to get some slack for this shit. I was the one that taught the boy you have to stand up to pee. Mind you, I couldn't physically show him and say, look, this is what you have to do. But I had to be the one to say, listen, this is how boys do it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Boys stand up and do it. They don't sit like girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, I know there are some things that I know I can't physically show him, but somebody had to do it.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I had brothers that helped me, thank goodness, but the majority of these things, teaching my boy how to ride a bike, teaching him how to tie a shoe, teaching him how to do this, tie. Hell, I even taught him how to tie a damn tie. And it was the funniest thing. He goes, you know, that's something usually a man teaches a boy to do.
Mm-hmm.
How to teach myself how to tie a tie. How did I learn? Shit, YouTube. You know, so it's a sad reality, but it's reality. What can you do about it?
Right.
So That's my take on the whole thing. I thought it was a lot of ugliness in the air yesterday. I didn't really appreciate it, you know, coming at me like that. And I came back as strong as I got it, because I'm not going to sit up here and not acknowledge and not give credit where credit is due.
Right.
You know, guys, you don't like the way it is. Why don't you start marrying up some of these single mothers out here and start making some families, okay, instead of sitting back always complaining.
Okay. Damn, you shut up. You talk too much. Shut up.
I ain't going to say nothing else. I just had to get that up.
You talk too much. Shut up. Right now, we got some hands popping up. We got
yeah, I bet we do.
Yep, we got the 215 Brown Reporter's in the building, a.k.a. Sun 752. Money, power, respect. What's going on, brother man?
Chilling. Brown Reporter all up in your area, Sun 752.
Right.
What's going on, y'all?
Nothing.
Yeah, chilling.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, this is an easy one. It really is. Like, first of all, when it comes to the whole the Father's Day celebration or lack thereof, depending on how people structure it, I look at it like this. Social networking has thrown a lot of salt in the game when it comes to people expressing themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So whereas there might have been some reconciliation or some forgiveness on the part of a lot of people. A lot of people feel like once they put their thoughts out there in cyberspace, it really ain't no coming back from that. You know,
right.
some people take that very seriously, and some people don't take it very seriously at all. You understand what I mean? But it's one of the tools that people are using nowadays to really get at people, to hurt people's feelings. And they do mean shit, and it's childish shit. You know what I mean? It's dumb. But it's a good way to be able to express yourself, especially when you're angry at somebody. And a lot, just like when you're in an argument with somebody face to face, you know, if they say something that you don't like, something that hurts your feelings, you might say something hurtful to them. That counters the hurt feelings that you have, and maybe even compounds that. And next thing you know, Donna said a whole bunch of crazy shit, some of it true, some of it just out of anger. I really don't believe that people necessarily say things out of anger without there being a little bit of a hint of truth in it. You understand what I mean?
Right.
Now, see, so when you start talking about Father's Day and all of the Happy Father's Day, to all of the single moms out there that's holding fathers, things like that, there's going to be people who take that personally, just like somebody would take cyberbullying personally. Like, some, you know, if I was like a teenager or something like that, and somebody said, you know, that I act gay or some shit like that. And I know I'm not gay. You know what I mean? But my image is important to my peers, and I don't like somebody slandering me like that. You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. It sounds like something that should be easy to get over with, but just like I was saying with the argument, there is a hint of truth in those angry words. So although maybe I dropped the ball before, and I'm just speaking for some of the single fathers that sometimes get put in the same position that I'm in, where I'm physically removed from my baby by 120 miles. You understand what I mean? So being as though I can't be there on a day-to-day basis, I try to make sure that I keep the communication going so I can at least, you know, let my baby know that I'm there, you know, whether it's financially or if there's a major event that I'm coming through. So even with the effort that's put forth, not everybody, but a lot of people feel like they can do a little bit more. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when it seems like you're not even being appreciated for the effort that you're trying to put forth, and let's say I was the dad before who didn't support financially, and I wasn't physically there, didn't spend no time. You know what I'm saying? But maybe I feel some kind of way about that. Maybe I was going through something at the at the time, which is not an excuse, but it might be an explanation. But I figured, well, shit, I'm still alive and my baby's still alive. You know, I could at least make up some of the time, you know, and go forward and make things better for the future. You know, I can't repair what happened in the past, but I can definitely go forward right now and try to give my child, regardless of what age they might be, some parental guidance, some knowledge, some quality time, whatever I can give of myself. So if I'm in that mind state, but it keeps coming back on me about what I didn't do before, it can be discouraging. You know what I mean? Every accomplishment starts at number one. But if you can't, if you're discouraged from even getting to that number one, you're not going to make it to 100. You know? So I can understand
I definitely feel you, son. I'm hearing what you're saying. I got other hands popping up right now, and I don't want them I'm going to get back to you. But we got the 804 representing right now. State your name, where you're calling from, and let us know your two cents about tonight's topic. 804.
All right.
Okay.
804, this be me, Lady Soldiers in the place to be. How y'all doing? God bless you.
Hey, Lady Soldiers.
Okay.
What's up, son?
Hey, how are you?
All right. I wasn't, you know what I'm saying, I had called in but didn't put my hand up because I was just going to, you know, listen and support because you know how I do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then homegirl hit the heated button.
Nail on the head. Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. She nailed that joke, especially when she said, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even going to repeat it. Anyway, what I'm going to say is this. When you post stuff on your profile or whatever on Facebook, whatever social network you're part of, people going to do what people going to do. Unfortunately, some folks, the only attention they know how to give or, you know, anything that they can do is be a troll and be negative, and that's how they get their attention. She did the right thing by deleting them. I wouldn't have given them any more attention after that because that's all they wanted. Because if they really wanted to defend what they had to say, they wouldn't have come back on a negative tip. They would have just stated examples of how they're not that way. They would have stated examples of how they don't fit that bill. You know what I'm saying? The only way to come back with something to... I have a headache. Y'all, please bear with me. The only way to counteract, you know, a criticism really is to show examples of positivity, not going off on the stereotype, well, she should have kept her legs closed. Well, somebody should have had their mouth shut and shouldn't have been begging for something that they couldn't handle. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you always say, well, you know, this, she got pregnant. Well, you know, it was your seed, you know what I'm saying? Just like I kept my legs closed, you could have kept yours zipped up. I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes two.
Mm-hmm.
It takes two. Now, because she stepped up to her responsibilities and went ahead and had the child, you know what I'm saying, you may not have been ready, but she took that responsibility. So that's not her fault. Again, she should be applauded for stepping up and accepting her responsibilities versus trying to run, hide, get an abortion, take the day after pill, or what have you. But as a mama, you don't have, you know, of course you could leave them at the hospital. I'm not going to say that they don't have the option of not raising the child because that option is out there.
Right.
But she chose not to. And for that reason, because she's playing both roles, should receive her props. Now, you want to be a man, you want to be a daddy, it takes more than just showing up and making a deposit. and when I say deposit, I mean more than just, you know, the horizontal mambo. I'm saying a deposit because some daddies is like, well, I paid child support. That's nice. I got a whole child support check for 2 cents. Ask me how I feel about child support.
Wow.
2 cents. I said it would have cost me more to cash this sucker. I could use it.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
But that goes into an album. That right there, you got to put in a photo album.
No, but you know, if you knew how little, like Sister said, you don't get much on child support. I don't know why people get misled about child support. Okay, you hear about these people who, I'm owed $30,000 in child support. That's over years and years and years of child support. If you broke that $30,000 down to what's your actual day wage or how much you get a day, it's pennies. It's nothing. My son is 17 years old, going on 18, and all he gets for child support a month is a little less than $200. Now, my son eats $200, okay? Physically can eat $200 worth of food, you know? So you have to say to yourself, okay, what exactly? And that's why I really don't like that cop-out when God say, oh, well, I pay child support. Okay, so that child support gets up with an ear infection in the middle of the night and gives medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That child support gets you
up, gets those
sneakers, the you know, the shirt, the pants, the jacket. You know, and kids go through clothes so fast. You know,
sure.
And I'm like, that little child support is not doing anything. You know,
yeah.
Shout out to the fathers that do the right thing. And I mean, when I say do the right thing, I mean, don't just say, well, I pay child support. That little child support ain't nothing. I'm talking about the fathers that actually still continue to give. Now, mind you, I have complained to my child's father. I've said, listen, I understand you give child support, whatever, whatever. But, you know, it doesn't hurt you. A matter of fact, don't even give me the money. Buy the boy some clothes.
You can take your money
and go buy it if you don't trust me to do the right thing, which seems to be like a consensus with guys. Go ahead, 7-5-2, you have something to say?
You know, I'm going to actually bring somebody else on because we got a lot of hands up right now.
Okay.
Right now, we got somebody who's actually restricted. I'm going to bring y'all in. You're restricted, so I don't know where to call you from, but you are live right now. What's your name where you call it from?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes,
thank
you. Just making sure. My name's Mark Solomon. I'm calling from upstate New York, and I heard all the bitterness about Father's Day and whatnot. Here's where I think a lot of that comes from, like when it comes to giving single mothers props on Father's Day, which I personally have no problem with. But what happens is, you know, a lot of them decide to bash the deadbeat baby's father on Father's Day, which I'm not exactly for restricting anybody's freedom of speech, but here's what frustrates me. You don't see the same thing happening to mothers on Mother's Day. You don't see the mothers who lost custody of their children getting cussed out. You know, the women that keep popping babies out after they've had babies taken from them, you know, things like that. But you don't hear about them getting trashed on Mother's Day or at all. So why is it that, you know, when it comes to Father's Day, you know,
well, basically, that's what we're trying to find out now. You know, we got a slew of people on the air right now, on the line right now, to, you know, basically fill in that question for us. Because I want to know, like, I see it on my page that didn't happen on Mother's Day, and I know for a fact that there's mothers out there that's not doing shit, you know, that for whatever reason gave up their rights or forever, you know, however it happened. But also, you know, I think guys, men, have taken that, okay, I want to shout out my mom on Father's Day out of perspective, because sometimes it's not that the father doesn't want to be there. He can't be there, whether he passed away. We had a war. We've been in war for majority of these kids' lives. Their father is deceased. So maybe the kid, you know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, this is not just about those people that, you know, want to attack their baby daddy. I'm not talking about those. You know, for somebody to, like you said, you don't know this person. So for me to go on my Facebook page and say, and social network, like Sunset Fasu said, is you know, it's like throwing salt in the air. Put it out there. So I totally agree to that. And, you know, my thing is this. If I post something and you don't know me from Tom, Dick, or Sue, and I say something, and, you know, everybody was right at some point or another, you know, you come back with something negative, or you just kept your legs closed. And, you know, it works both ways. At the same time, I could have said the same thing to you. So, you know, that's what we're trying to find out. Where's the happy medium at? Where's all this negativity coming from? There are, you know, do men hold their tongue more than women do? Is that what we're saying? Because there are women out there that are not doing it. They're not stepping up, and there are fathers out there that are stepping up. And so why fathers aren't on Facebook bashing their mothers or, you know, showing that type of bitterness?
Because I think, like you said, you hit it right on the head. We hold our tongues better. You know, we, like, most.
Well, if that's the case, why respond, you know, why is some responding at the same time? You know, it's like a double-edged sword. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's a double standard.
Right.
And also the media plays a big part. Because you got Maury out here claiming you are the father, you are not the father.
Right.
And these guys out here dancing a jig when they're found not to be the father. That kind of glorifies, you know, the stereotype that, oh, these deadbeat dads out here. You know, he's actually dancing around because, you know, you know, or he's actually the father of four kids who are all the same age.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
right.
The media doesn't share too.
Right.
The media doesn't share. It does.
Right. Right. Totally agree. Oh, we got a whole lot of cool hands coming up right now. Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate you calling in and showing your support. Please hold on. But I am going to wait for a minute because of your background. Right now, I'm going to bring in the 337, who's all kinds of late right now. What's going on, Black Reporter?
There is a good reason for that.
No, don't care about all that. Just
no. And the reason being is because within the next few weeks, I will be on the computer with the rest of y'all.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
Wonderful. Because I got my computer delivered tonight.
Okay.
That's where it was. So.
All right. So, yeah. Right now, we have some more hands up. I see the 919 is there with their hand up, but I also have the 917 with his hand up. So I'm going to bring in the 917-202. Hi, Chevy, baby.
Yeah, Chevy.
Hi, boss. How y'all doing? What's up, everybody?
Hey, Chef.
What's up, dude?
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Chevy, do you have an opinion you want to put in for the topic?
What exactly is the topic?
Oh,
I know something about Father's Day. What exactly is it?
Good grief. Did I just not explain that? Like,
no,
5 seconds ago? You've been on air. You heard it.
No, so no, you're talking about Father's, like Father's bashing, Father's Day bashing?
Not exactly.
We're trying to figure out why there's so much bitterness when it comes to Father's Day. We got the guys who are attacking women, or you know, other people that want to wish other members in their family that, you know, for whatever reason, that they're not saying, oh, Happy Father's Day to my dad, but Happy Father's Day to my mom or my grandmom or, you know, my foster mom or godmom, you know, in that retrospect. And then you have the women out there who saying, Happy Father's Day to my, you know, no good deadbeat dad, you know, baby daddy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we're just basically just trying to cover the bases and figure out why there was such disdain on Father's Day. Now, this happened to me, this happened twice in a row as far as social media network and just people in general. Like, I've even had people who posted up Hallmark cards and said they're not going to support them anymore because Hallmark has a line of cards. I think it's the mahogany or something like that line, and they actually say, to my mom, Happy Father's Day.
Yes,
that's what the card said. So we're just trying to figure out.
In them sneakers.
That's racist. What?
No, you said, wait, hold on. That's the line for black people, right?
Yeah.
Hallmark line?
That's the line for black people? It is?
Yeah,
Mahogany?
Yeah.
Mahogany
so, like,
what? I don't get
Mahogany
it.
Line of reading cards. That's the line that they cater to black folks.
Oh, yeah?
That's for black folks. So, like, if they say, like, if they say that, that's kind of racist. That's more racist than sneakers y'all everybody talking about.
Why?
Why?
I mean, get what you're saying. I'm getting what you're saying. But at the same time, it's not just white folks. I mean, it's just not black folks that's missing their dad. It didn't say Happy Mother's Day to my black mom. It didn't, you know, it didn't say that.
No, but like that's mahogany. That's mahogany knowledge. That's
right,
why.
Right, but that it makes no
black
sense to me.
Wait,
okay.
Wait, LaCrush. Well, everybody thinks those sneakers is racist. How come you're not looking at them like
this? I mean, we're not talking about those sneakers right now. We're not gonna talk about those sneakers right now. We're talking about dad, so you know we tend to run off the topic on this show, so we're not going to do that right now. I'm going to bring in the 919 249. What's going on the Quest?
Hey guys, thank you for having me on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking a question though. Nobody get mad, but if a girl is on Maury and she having like 10 guys tested, you know, at some point, it's not the guy's fault, and the guys are not an ass for dance. If she got to test 10 guys to figure out who the father is, or 5 guys to find out who the guy is. And, I mean, at some point,
something
you got
like
to realize the young lady has an issue within herself. And the guys are being put in a situation where they're being embarrassed. Trauma being added to their lives that they don't necessarily deserve.
Here's my issue with the whole thing is that people make too many generalizations.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? People are quick to say that all single moms are the silly hoes.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that at
all. Dads are deadbeats. And that's the whole issue that I have with this from the get, is that people need to, you know, slow your roll. Each instance is a particular instance. Yes, it might be stereotypical, but you can't jump to conclusions. You don't know what's going on. You don't know if they just weren't compatible. But the fact of the matter is that after a certain point, you got to grow the hell up and accept responsibility for that life that you are trying to raise. That is a life. As a human being, it needs to be raised or else it's going to continue.
Exactly.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm a child. I'm a mother was a single mother. She raised my brother and I, and my dad wasn't around. And I spent the day with my mom, taking her from doctor to doctor and whatnot. And the whole day she spent talking to my father. All positive. Everything was positive today. But I mean, I can feel this subject. I think it's a great topic. I hope we enjoy. I hope everybody enjoys it.
Mhm. Mhm. So
well, now
you
see, I was going to say that I have the best image of my father because he's still around. As a matter of fact, he was the one who brought me the computer to put in my room and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He made me a little bit upset with me because I left for 20 some years and came back and got married to someone that he didn't care for, and when I came back, I was not in the best of health, but since then, he's taken care of me, 100%, like I am his son, you know. And I'm proud of me to say he's my father. I mean, when I tell people that my dad is 78 years old, and he still works every day, people are shocked. And the way he looks and everything, you know, people are just shocked.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Now, my thing is this: Father's Day, in my opinion, was supposed to be a celebration of fathers. But you know, what about the kids in this whole, you know, bitterness? Like, what role do they play? Because I know there are some kids out there that don't have a actual father; don't see him. You know, but they have a granddad or they have an uncle or something like that. How do you think they affect your child when you say something like, "Oh, that deadbeat dad of my baby daddy of mine," or something like that? Like, you know, at any age. to the mothers out there and to the fathers out there on line right now?
That, you know, to me, that's the fault of the deadbeat dad. If he's not living up to his responsibility, that's his fault.
Well, the thing is, you know what? You're a black reporter.
Yeah.
You know what? The thing about that whole thing is, if the pirates are gonna call the kettle black, then they better have their shit straight. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I guess I feel like if you gonna come out your face like calling somebody a deadbeat and all of that, we're pretty much talking about a financial situation. You know what I mean? If you gonna call somebody absentee dad, that's a whole nother story. But even with all of that, then to me, I feel like the job that you're doing as a parent, as a single parent, regardless of how much you struggle or whatever, your shit better be on point. Because we can raise these kids, and we can call ourselves raising these kids and all of that. But if you teaching them all kinds of fucked up values and morals, then the job as a so-called adult and a single parent that you're doing ain't worth shit anyway. You know what I'm saying? You know, like two people can do a job just twice as bad as one person can, or they can do something twice as well as somebody else. You understand what I mean? But you know, if you wanna label somebody or demean somebody about what they haven't done or if they haven't lived up to your expectations, then I would expect that you've had your house in order as much as humanly possible up until that point. You know what I mean? It'd be just like me saying, you know, I went over to my friend's house the other day and they live in a dump. But I know back at my crib, my shit is all fucked up too. You understand what I mean? Like, I can't do that. So, you know, so I mean, you know, I know a lot of single moms that's doing a good job holding it down as much as possible. And then I know a lot of moms that, you know, quite honestly ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's when I say shit, I mean that from being raised. I wasn't really raised by a single parent, but there was times when we didn't have a father figure in the home directly, and my mom had to do what she had to do. But she made sure that her values was straight. She didn't teach us no fucked up shit. And as many problems that she had with my pop, you know, when he was going through his thing, and they had a whole lot of problems as far as their marriage was concerned. That wasn't an amicable situation at all with me growing up. But I ain't never hear my mom talk bad shit about my pop. She was careful with the things that she said, not to tear him down, because she knew. Once she got it in our mind that he wasn't this, he wouldn't do this, and she knew it was all based on their relationship. It ain't had nothing to do with his father in the building. You understand what I mean? But she knew once she started, if she started getting it into my head, you know, as a young man, that you know, men ain't shit, and your father ain't this, that, and the third, it ain't going to be no coming back from that. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm probably going to question my ability to, you know, to step up to the plate and be a real man, whether I have kids or not. So that's what I wanted to say about that part.
Well, my situation is a little bit different, where my dad has been there all of my life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My mom is the one who passed away when I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And my dad remarried at, you know, a year later at 7. And really, when I was young, I didn't understand her means of discipline. I mean, all through my schooling years, I really thought she didn't like me. And it wasn't until I got older and lived on my own, and she had a great relationship with my ex, and it was then, when I had my own children, that I realized what she was doing to me. And I had to bring myself to the fact that I had to apologize to that woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had been more of a mother to me than any woman could ever be.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Right. So, I'm listening to Black Reporter. Black Reporter, you come from a different generation than than we have. I always like to bring that up, don't I, Black Reporter?
Yes, you do.
So parenting is slightly different. Slightly
yeah.
different, only for the simple fact that, you know, I know when, like, you know, when I was growing up, I don't know how it was when you was growing up, but I know when I was growing up, we had something called BCW, and, you know, we always used to threaten our parents, or we had to, you know, you can call them, I don't care, you can take it away. We had that fear going on with us when it came to discipline and things of that nature, and, you know, and I know, like, in your times, you know, when you say, I'm going to tell your dad, you know, that's when we, you know, we told our parents, and that's when everything stopped. Well, I'm going to tell your dad. It wasn't I was going to tell your mom. No, I'm going to tell your dad. You know, dad
exactly.
held that type of regard.
Exactly. You're exactly
in
right.
the household.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have teenagers or young adults that are having children, and we have these teenagers becoming mothers at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16, and we have these teenage fathers. Also, do you think they know how to appreciate fathers?
What did we come across this afternoon? The Mexican thing.
Yeah. That's a different topic. That's not what I was getting at. But okay. That's a whole different ball game right there. But
now
I'm not saying that this happened in y'all generation, but in this generation we have by the time you're 31 or 32, you're a grandparent. So we have kids having kids. And I'm not just saying that, you know, that didn't happen back in the day, but now it's coming to the forefront. We hear about it, we read about it, we see it. We see it. You know, if you was pregnant back then, you'd be sent away. You're going down south to live with your grandma. You know, you'd be sent away. Now we see this happening, you know. All through high school I've seen this happen, you know, and just sitting outside I can see, you know, these girls, you know, taking pictures of their baby bumps together. Let's get pregnant here. I don't know the fascination about that. But my thing is, how do you think that affects how they celebrate Father's Day? Because a lot of these people are not stepping up, and it's not that they not doing it, it's just that they can't do it. Anybody?
That's really strange.
Well, but wait a minute. This ain't hard. I mean, when you really think about it, if you're getting off to a really late start with being a parent, see, the thing is, when you have a child at a very young age, you're 12, 13 years old, 14 years old, you know, just eighth, ninth, 10th grade, you're not really a parent yet. You're not a mother or a father. You know what I mean? You know, I be hearing them chicks kick that bullshit like they've been taking care of they kids since they was real young like that when they had babies when they was young. But who really took care of the babies starting out for the first 5 years? It was a grandparent. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me, you know, to hear, you know, how you gonna call, you know, your baby dad a deadbeat dad when you ain't a real mom yet. You know what I mean? You still got so far to go. You know, you're not gonna be able to find a job at 15, 16 years old that's really gonna be sufficient enough to feed your baby. So now your mom or your mom and your dad gotta work harder in order to be able to provide for you and your baby. Because you know you probably still got that wilderness in you. You still wanna be going out, you wanna get high, you wanna drink, you wanna hang out with your friends, you wanna do all of that shit. And even though some of that stuff might have got slowed down, very rarely does it totally diminish. You know what I'm saying? So you know, your younger siblings wind up being babysitters and you know, while you hitting the streets and all of that. And unfortunately that's more of the rule than the exception. So, you know, in terms of being a very young parent, if you're both getting off to a late start, but it just so happens that the baby is living in the home with you and the grandparents and all the rest of the brothers and sisters, you're still going to have to check yourself until you can really, really get right, because you already need a system. So, you know, the assistance is probably not going to cross the board all the way. hopefully, if you are absolutely sure of who the father is, then you will, then hopefully, like, that those grandparents will help out, do their part, you know, try to help both of y'all get through school or whatever the situation may be, and, you know, and help you be able to provide. But one of the things I wanted to get into before we get into the cubbyhole thing is one thing I want to impress upon people is that a father is one who furthers knowledge. So, you know, we also have to acknowledge fathers that don't have biological children. The same way as a mother is a nurturer. So somebody who nurtures you, somebody who cultivates you and is able to show you in a nurturing way how to get through life by comforting you, as well as teaching you things, becomes a mother to you as well. So in that regard, we have to acknowledge the foster parents. We have to acknowledge the aunts and the guardians, the non-biological mothers as well. So when we start talking all reckless on these pages, you know, we popping shots at all the biological people. You know what I mean? Deadbeat dads, deadbeat moms, no good bitches, lame ass niggas, all of that.
Yep.
But we're still leaving out and not acknowledging a lot of people that have helped and that have been there as fathers. In the absence of real fathers, have been there as mothers, in the absence of mother figures. For example, if the child is blessed enough to get involved in some type of extracurricular activity, like sports, you know, basketball, football, whatever the case may be, and he has a coach that is influential in his life and helps him stay out of trouble through sports or another extracurricular activity, he has to be acknowledged as well. You know what I mean? And the same way, you know, if you had an aunt or godmother, you know, that's the whole thing. Yeah, you know, I'm wondering about that. I'm wondering about that too. How many people became a young teenage godmother? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, everybody throw that term around. You know, I'm the child's godmother. I'm blah 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 blah. But how many times does it really pan out to whereas you have to step up to the plate? Because honestly, when you accept that label as a godparent, that means whatever the biological parents can't do, you're supposed to do. You took on that responsibility. And some people make sure that you have to take on that responsibility. You know what I mean? So, you know, school supplies, whatever the case may be, the parents don't have it, you're supposed to come through with all of that. How many people are really doing that?
Exactly.
So, I mean, you might be a deadbeat godparent as well. You know, so all the name calling and all of that shit, really all of that lame is tied in his head. And what really needs to be done is to keep those lines of communication open. You know, one thing I used to tell young mothers or mothers of any age, if I saw that there wasn't a whole lot of parental involvement on the side of the father, I used to ask mom, well, have you encouraged him to spend time with his child? Because the key word is encourage. Now, you know, if you bitter and you mad, you might look at it like, well, that's his baby. It's 46. I mean, it's 23 chromosomes in that motherfucker. Just like it is me. Why should I have to encourage you to do it? Well, there are a lot of things that like that. A lot of us just do. But how many times do we just do those things? But I tell you one thing. You want to catch more bees with honey than you are with a fly swatter. That's just the truth of the matter. So if you step to a nigga and you be like, well, listen, dude. You know, I know you're not really working right now. Maybe you're going through some things, but understand this is your child, and you know, and he needs you regardless. You know, maybe you can't spend all your time with him, but I don't think you should take the chance on missing out on this beautiful opportunity for you to be able to have a hand in raising your child, because you're going to get something out of that just the same way as you're giving something to him. Believe me, the rational rational, logical nature in a man is going to click in.
No, not necessarily, honey.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something, Britt. It ain't how you start, it's how you finish, ma. You know what I mean? And I do believe in time.
I understand that.
Well,
you know what? But you know what? I do believe in time, too. That's why I have been patient these last 17 years. And, you know, I don't do the chasing thing. My thing is this, like you said, like it's just like you said, it's how you approach. I've encouraged to the point of it's not even, it's ridiculous. So I don't encourage anymore. Because now he's at the age now where he makes those decisions on his own now. It's not, I can't say go over there and you're going to stay. He's not going over there because he don't want to go over there. You understand what I'm saying? So that's something that that father has to live with now for the rest of his life. I did everything I could. You understand what I'm saying? I never, ever told this man, I told this boy not one lie about his father. Not that he was dead, that he was this, that he was that, that he's somewhere in the jungle somewhere fighting for the country. Like a lot of these women do, I ain't never told him not one lie. He asked me, and I always told him, where is his daddy? He lives over there on Halsey Street. I told him all the business. He lives there. Well, how come I don't see him? Well, and I've tried to sugarcoat it as much as I could. Without making it sound like just absolute ridiculousness.
I agree, but okay, you did what you had to do, and you did what you were supposed to do. But you know, you have to take your example as being your example. You know what I mean?
I understand that, but I'm listening to you. Everybody ain't the same. All I'm saying is, don't let somebody who is.
Don't let another lemon sour your.
Never that.
You know what I mean?
But he did it in 17
you know
years.
All right, well, that's what I'm saying. But listening to you, it sounds like you're still carrying a lot of that emotional baggage.
No, let me tell you something. It's the way you're talking and what you're saying is striking a nerve. I'm not going to lie and say it's not striking a nerve, because it is. But the bottom line is I done been past it. That's not up to me anymore. That's between him and the good Lord above. That is not up to that there. I've done all I could, and I'm at peace with that. But what you're saying is striking a chord with me. I'm not going to lie. I'm over it. But it's still like, you're giving sage advice. Don't get me wrong. You're giving these ladies exactly the advice they need to hear, son. You understand what I'm saying? But you know what? I'm here to say that, you know what? Unfortunately, it don't work on every man.
Unfortunately. Yeah, that's true. But my whole thing is you got to do what you know is right. You know what I mean? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I get that. But at least you can say that you did it. Now, if my conversation with you would be different if you told me, well, nah, you know, like, that motherfucker know better. You know what I mean? He's grown ass man. You know what I'm saying? What am I to say? I can't work with that. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you put the work in. All I can say is, all right then. Well, fuck it. You know, things will work out the way they're supposed to work out eventually.
All right. Well, I'm saying the advice you were giving wasn't on point. You know what I'm saying? I think that a lot of these ladies did approach in a different manner. That, you know, stop running down the street with these babies in one arm screaming and the other arm take care of your responsibilities. You know what? And I've seen it. And stop dragging these kids all over the place, you know, through the club, out at night, running down the street with a stroller. In a way, I'm going to earn the reason why I should see a stroller rolling down the street some 11, 12 o'clock at night. Okay, you walk around with a stroller looking for somebody. That don't make no sense. I think that we need to approach it differently. We need to make smarter choices, and that way we won't even end up in the situation to begin with. That's how I try to educate and encourage.
I hear what y'all saying, and I agree with both of y'all to an extent. And, you know, I think a lot of that, you know, that chasing and things like that, that's not just the fault of the woman. That's also the fault of the man that they're running behind. Because if I, you know, I've seen it happen, you know, baby moms or, you know, a mother is sitting up there going by any means necessary to take care of her child, trying to better herself, trying to, you know, get a job, get her GED, whatever the case may be. She's trying to put herself on the right track and really sit there and be there for her child. Then here comes, dare I say it, deadbeat dad. Or here comes John coming back into her life and disrupting stuff. You know, he's bringing all that stuff that she's been trying to push away. He's bringing that with her, with him, when he returns into the situation. And basically he's bringing false hope to her. It's not just about the child. We always tell, oh, the mother, it has to be about the child. It's not just about the child, because this man that came back into her life, they, you know, there's feelings there, you know, now they're sleeping together. You know, he comes to get pussy when he want to come get pussy. You know, it's never just about the child. Like, the only time he see, or the only time she sees him is when it's something that involves her. You know what I mean? The only time he goes to see her is not because he wants to go see his child. No, he wants to go see her because he wants something from her. That was the best head he ever had, so he's going back to see her. So how can she separate the two if that's the only time that they see each other is when it comes to just them two? It's not like he's coming to see his child and, you know, she's having to beg for him to come see the child. You know your child is there. You know that's your child. You can't deny that's not your child. You know that this is him, but you're not trying to put the effort in.
Because we have illusions of grandeur. Okay. These illusions of grandeur.
But,
that's how that happens.
But,
right.
But it's after 10 o'clock, and it's the debut with a cubby hole. The topic is
thank you, Brown Reporter.
No, actually it's not. The cubby hole. Actually, it's not. The cubby hole has been canceled tonight. So go ahead. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Don't try to change the subject now.
Huh?
Don't try to change the subject now. Go ahead. Answer the question.
Okay.
What question is on 752?
Wait, what was the question? I didn't hear no question.
Oh, you didn't hear no question?
What was the question?
Okay. Well, I was asking. I was like, well, how is one supposed to focus on the child, or, you know, bring that type of perspective to the situation when the only time you see them is at, you know, late nights, or, you know, when he wants some pussy, or when he wants some head, or, you know, that type of situation? How can I just focus on the child when he's bringing all that back to me?
Because if you allow that situation to turn off like that, then you can't blame him for keeping it just like you allowed him.
No, you can't
start it off from the beginning. You really can't because
we're supposed to be robots.
Wait. Yeah, I believe that every man should show some responsibility and some caring and things like that. However, if you don't like the situation and you don't say nothing about it, then you are just as responsible for being placed in that situation and remaining in that situation as he is for just going along with the flow. Certainly a closed mouth don't get fed. You know what I mean?
Amen.
So if y'all already had a sexual relationship, he was only coming through on a late night, and then, you know, and he's still only coming through on a late night, what the fuck is going to say? You changed? You know what I mean? No, he's keeping it right consistent. You know what I mean? But you don't, like I said, a closed mouth don't get fed. Somebody stepping on your toes and you don't think that, they might think that you like the way it feels. So you know, if you have some type of reservations about what a person is going to do, let's say you have separate issues, you know what I mean? You can't stand to be alone. So you figure if you start putting certain demands on a nigga, you know, that he's going to leave you and you can't deal with that, you're going to be laid up crying, depressed, can't move, can't go to work, can't drive, can't do shit, and that's affecting the child as well, then you got to get your hands fixed. You know, because you are addicted to abuse. And believe me, if you are addicted to abuse, you're going to find many people who are going to supply you and supply you and supply you. So you got to get your head right.
But you, like I said, it all starts in one. Everything starts in one. Improvement starts in one, and destruction starts in one, too.
I'd like to chime in there, if I could, what exactly it is.
Nah,
like
nah,
I said,
you can't say nothing. You can't say nothing.
No, I guess I can say something. What
I'm
saying is,
with you, son.
He's
going to agree with you.
Like I said, delusions of grandeur. We women need to wake up and see it for what it really is, okay?
Told you.
We need to wake up and see it for what it really is. We get all caught up looking at him playing with the baby or whatever. He's throwing the baby up in the air. He's nuzzling the baby's neck. We're looking over like, oh, my God, what a touching scene. Look at my family, okay? He comes up to you. Damn, you looking good, whatever, whatever, whatever. And come to find out, you know, he wants some ass. See it for what it is. He's standing there, see him with what he is. He's a man with a heart on, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at him as, oh, that's the father of my child and my family, and we getting all caught up. We're seeing this, and all he's seeing is, damn, her ass is fat. Okay, she got a little T-shirt, titties out, I'm ready to hit it. And we're looking and we're seeing, I'm going to give myself over to the man that I'm going to marry one day. We're going to be a family. Stop looking at it like it's something grand, okay? It's a booty call, okay? He's going to tickle the baby back in between, and then he's going to keep it moving. And then later on, you're going to be standing there, okay, with a raw hide, the baby sitting there screaming, and you back to where you was before. You've abused and alone. Wake up, ladies.
Well, that's how some of these kids are, and this is some of, the situation these kids are being born into as well. You know, like this is even before the child even came into play. You know, like they were already putting the pillow underneath their shirt type situations. You know.
Wait, hold on. So you mean tell me, So in the whole 9 months, that you was pregnant. You know, you didn't get no type of idea of what type of dude. What type of father, what type of man that
how do you know I know what I speak? How am I going to not know what I speak if I ain't experienced it and recognized it for what it was? Everything that I speak about, I have been through.
All right, okay, all right, great.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, this is my story.
I was just going to say, hello. I was just going to say this, son, 752. What I was going to say was, before the child even got here, before the seed even, you know, inseminated the egg, that thought was already put in our heads. You know, when we sat on the phone like that, unfortunately, that's the way we were trained. Like
that's
this is
who
tradition.
We are.
This is right. This is who we. This is her. It's not even that, but the simple fact that you know when we were young kids, you know the whole thing about the whole big wedding, and you know we want a man that can do this and X, Y, and Z. Like you know we want to see what we want what we see on TV, pretty much, and it's glamorized. Like this is what is supposed to happen. We're supposed to go on one or two dates. You know,
listen.
We have sex, and I get pregnant, and then he's going to stay here with me. He wants to marry me. He wants to be my baby daddy, my husband, my everything. This is what we, you know, when you think of, you know, then, you know, oh, I don't have that dad. So people that didn't even grow up with their dad in their lives, they put these men on these pedestals, not even the men, but they put that particular role on a pedestal pretty much. And the men are working their damnest to get to that pedestal. Now, unfortunately, we get caught up in the whole, if you dare say it, game that these guys are feeding us because guys have no shame. So they're going to feed off of that. So like you say, it works both ways, but if I don't know to realize, if that's my reality and you feeding off of that, because I've had grown men that have known me for less than 10 hours talking about I want you to have my baby. What? Me? You know, and I mean, they go hard. Like, I've had a guy say, you want to be a millionaire? What? Have a baby by me. Like, I literally had somebody tell me that line. Like, really? Really, dude? So, you know, men are going to feed you what they think you want to hear because they want the drawers. You know, so it's going to take a big kick of reality. Or a big swift of reality to get me back in check, like Brooke said, it is what it is. Let's call a spade a spade. And unfortunately, the kid, the child is already here. The child is already, you know, they're already struggling, whatever situation they're in, as far as her being a single parent, as far as this child growing up in a single parent household. You know, so the child is probably grown now, and you just realizing that. Here's a child that is 16 years old, and you just realizing that. It is what it is. I only see his man when I get some, when he wants some pussy. Or, you know, you get caught up like that. So, that's just my idea. That's what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Is it time for the cubby hole? Oh, no, I was going to say
no. No, there's no cubby hole. I keep telling you that. Why are you still talking about a cubby hole? Yeah,
what?
Cubby hole was canceled. Yeah. Cubby hole
anyway.
Was canceled.
Right. Now, what I was going to say, look, you know,
that's what I get when I'm late with the boss lady.
Pretty much.
Dave, you fucked up. Well, what I was going to say was, I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't let people into my life very easily. You know, I don't believe in fantasy, no Dungeons and Dragons, no princesses, no kissing the frogs, getting the prince. No, I don't believe in none of that. I believe things happen, you know, in a realistic way. And sometimes you gotta take your bumps and bruises along the way. But being as though it takes me a long time to build up a trust factor with somebody, it's hard for me to understand how if I'm doing that in absence of having children, because I ain't, my baby wasn't born until I was 35. So if I was good at that, you know, for 35 years, I can't understand how you could be. You know, how you can have that rescue me mentality, everything is going to be all right one way or another, when all the evidence has been showing you that it ain't going to be all right. I mean, maybe I'm just over analytical or whatever the case may be, but I'm like, look, you know, if something is working, I'm going to keep on doing it. And if something ain't working, I'm gonna cut that shit off, man. Like, fuck that. This shit ain't working. I don't like it. You understand what I mean? So I don't understand how you can think. You know what they say? Insanity is doing something over and over in the same way and expecting a different result, right? So if a nigga ain't been helping you out, he ain't been holding it down for you, he ain't been spending time with you, he ain't been there for you emotionally, he hasn't been doing the same that you would expect from being in a healthy relationship, why do you say he's going to do that after she comes through?
Because that's all I know. I don't have any other, you know, it's basically, you know, some of these people are, you know, one track mind, pretty much. Like, I've only been in this one situation. You know, it'd be different if somebody like son came along and like you said, you know, showed me a different path or showed me a different light or showed me different than what I already thought, then maybe, just maybe, after son, I won't have those thoughts of grandeur anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this is all I know, is my thoughts. It's like being locked in a room and, you know, only being homeschooled. You know, and then being let out into the world and don't know how to interact with people. This is all I know. This is how I cope with it. This is how I dealt with it. This is the perspective that I came up with. If I don't have different perspectives, or if I'm not put in a situation where there are different perspectives, then how are you expecting me to look at things in a different light?
So true.
Go me,
yeah,
that sounded real hot just now. Go me.
That's right. You know, that was like your Al Pacino monologue.
Right. That's called a sound bite. Go me. No, I'm just playing. We still got people online. We got Chevy Baby online. We got On a Quest on the line. We got Sunny Shine online, you know, don't be afraid to chime in. You know, your mics are open. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Hello?
805-830-8320.
Nothing? That's it? Chevy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So you got nothing to say to me? You're not even going to say, yeah, crush, I'm here? Good grief. Hello?
Oh, but I have to chime in. I had a funny story on Saturday. I was actually chilling with my daughter's mother, and we was at this barbecue for our family. So as we was leaving, like, a couple of, like, all our family members showed me love, except for one. This lady walks up to me, and I'm with my daughter's mother, and my daughter's just running around. So she walks up to me, and she says my daughter's name, and she says, Happy Father's Day. And she just gave me a look, looked at, dead at me, and gave me this look like, what up, man, and kept it moving. My reaction was, I bust out laughing. I was like, yo, that's your cousin? She's like, yeah. I'm like, yo, your cousin's mad funny. You know.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, just take the good with the bad. I ain't gonna get mad cousin for saying that. I'm happy I just had my daughter.
Now, you, Chef, you on a your situation is on a different level because you've explained to us the whole concept of the conceiving of your child. You explained to us this thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I'm trying to see what happened. Okay, and you told me that, you know, you asked her, you know, she wanted to get an abortion, but you talked her out of it. Then when you came to the, you know, the realization that it may not be a child and all that situation, you know, all that stuff went in there. How has the whole, you know, when it comes to something like Father's Day, how has that gone with you and her and just the relationship in general now that your daughter's here and, you know, she's like four now, right?
Yeah.
Right. So how is that going for you, being who you are and what you are and what you're not doing and what you are doing? How is that situation with you?
It's interesting. I mean, I could go see my daughter, like, go pop up a house, see my daughter, but the thing is, like, yeah, most of the time doing that, and I don't really, like, she's, like, the only chick I know with baggage, and it's not her baby father. It's these other guys who's mostly with baggage, and at the end of the day, I ain't got no time with no little-ass niggas with their young mindset. Even though they older than me, they still young mindset. So I choose not to. So it be sometimes, like, maybe 2 weeks, I don't go see my daughter, because I'm, like, I don't want to put myself in a situation where it make it awkward. Also, like, put like this, I can still fuck my baby mother, but I'm not going to use my daughter at the point to actually be like, hey, I'm gonna go see my daughter just to fuck. Fuck out of here. If I'm going to fuck you, I'm going to fuck you, and it has nothing to do with my daughter. It has nothing to do with picking her up, dropping her up stuff. She's picking, like, has nothing to do with my daughter. That's how I keep it. But Father's Day this year, it was cool. We was kind of cordial to each other because she invited me to two different barbecues, on a Saturday and on Sunday, Father's Day. But it was cool. It was cordial. Like, you know, we're not really, like, the best of friends, but we know I'm not going to sit there and say, like, oh, I hate this bitch, fuck that bitch, blah, 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 blah. You know, each his own. But
you do feel that way towards her somehow?
I think in some sense, but it's mostly have to deal with, it's like, why I feel that way is just that she just switched up. When you have a lot of guys in your head and they just sitting there, like, feeding you, oh, I would do this, I would do that, you want to believe them. So she believes them, and that's why we are, like, our interactions are so limited these days because of other guys feeding stuff in our head. I can't get mad. If they want to do that to get the pussy, so be it. Some people's game this week, so I can't get
so
mad at
that. These guys that come with baggage, are they around your daughter? Like, how does that affect your daughter?
I mean,
you say you don't go for 2 weeks at a time, but can't you just, like, take your daughter with you and, you know, go back home? Or why?
Yeah,
I can't do that.
Or I see her at her grandfather's house.
Right.
If she's not at grandfather's house, then, it's hard to get in contact with mother, because the mother really don't answer the phone that often, so, and she goes to school, whatever, hold on. So, it's kind of hard to get in contact with her, so, during them 2 weeks, you know, I just sit there and think, hopefully she's okay. I mean, she's a, not hopefully she's okay, but, no, I miss her.
Okay.
I think it's a boy and bring that situation inside of it, but I ain't got time for that. That's just too much work for me.
Hey, Shelly, let me just say, if you see her every 2 weeks, hey, that's pretty good. I mean,
If you can manage that every 2 weeks, a lot more than a lot of other folks out here doing. So don't ever be ashamed of doing that.
What?
Yeah, I feel you.
What? Hello? Did my phone just act up on me? I didn't hear the last part. What you
said? I said don't ever be ashamed of only
what?
Being able to see us doing everything.
Huh? What? Fuck what everybody else is doing. He should be ashamed to see it. He's in the same borough as his child. He's not but a hop, skip, and a jump away. He should see his child every fucking day. What do you mean shouldn't be ashamed? Are you supposed to see a child? What do you mean you're only supposed to?
Hold on. I'm not from New York, so you know I don't know the geography. How far away is he from his daughter?
But that's for any situation. If you have the means to do it, then you should do it. You're not supposed to pick and choose when you want to be a dad or when you want to be a mother. It goes both ways. Like, what?
I'm picking shoes. I mean, like,
I'm not saying you now. We're not talking about you. We're talking about in general. Okay. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead.
All right, Pimpin. Well,
it's not like this is mandatory, people. This is mandatory. When you have a seed, it's like this is part of being a father. Not just, you know, it's
now,
not
you,
part-time.
You're right,
you know, this is
right.
That's the same thing as saying, oh, I take care of my child, so therefore that you're supposed to take care of your child. I'm not going to give you praise for taking care of your child. I'm not going to sit up here and say,
man,
oh, you paid your child support this month. Good job. No, you're supposed to do these things. And vice versa. Like I said, just because I'm saying it for dads, it applies to moms, too. Like, this is something,
I
like, a child don't stop being a child because you can't go see her that week. That child is being a child 24/7. Just like how you live your life, your child needs to live their life, and you need to be a part of it. I'm just saying.
I want to go online and saying that if my baby lived close to me, I would be over there all the time. And when she come down here for the summer, like every summer I contemplate like actually not bringing her back on some old kidnapping shit, but I don't really know why I fuck with the law like that. But I really had like considered it like fuck it, you know what I mean? But look, I'm gonna just enroll her in the school. You know,
move next to you, right?
No. The only way it's gonna happen is if I move to New York. All that coming to Philly shit, no, we'll get down like that.
Why you can't come to New York for a sign?
Well, that
could be my neighbor.
The only way it would be.
Okay.
I ain't having nobody
move
down here, you know. We gotta get the fuck out of here.
You can get your little apartment up here. Look, like a little
apartment,
a room. You can get you a room.
$1 million
and shit.
You
trying to get
your money.
You
see how I changed it from apartment to room, right? He can get you
right?
A room up here. It's only you, you know. Y'all can just do stuff every day. Anyway, folks, it has been brought to my attention, and it is by request that we do let Black Reporter do his from his cubbyhole. So, without further ado, here's your new host, Black Reporter.
Good evening, folks. And where that come from, Fresh? I had no idea because I know you had a wonderful show tonight, and this probably would have went overtime. But I also have a show starting tonight. It's called From My Cubbyhole. And, you know, I was kind of on the easy about whether or not this is going to work or not. But tonight I decided to pick this topic. Recently we had graduation season. Everybody was graduating. Everybody had a graduation speech. And this is a high school graduation in, what's it again, Crush? If you remind me.
I don't know. You tell me. This is your show.
I don't remember right off. That's
exactly, folks. This is
okay.
Why I canceled the show. Right. Okay, so there was a graduation in Alsina, Massachusetts, where an English teacher gave a speech, right?
That's correct. The English teacher told every single one of the high school graduates, you are not special. You know, normally high school graduations are supposed to be take your diploma, go out and conquer the world, this, that, and the other. Not here. Everybody's been coddling you, pushing you up on the pedestal, doing this for you, doing that for you. My daughter, who presently is 17 years old, she's a junior, she'll be a senior next year. I wish she could have heard this speech, because she's one of those students, but at the same time, she is a junior who does very well. But she's among that age group that, you know, when you're that age and you go to, how should I say, you go to any young people's activity, and they gave people trophies just for participating. You ever been one of those things?
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody got a trophy just for taking part. Everybody got a ribbon just for taking part. Whether it doesn't make a difference whether you won or not, but every guy got something for participating. And he said that that's totally, totally out. I can't believe. What do you guys think of that?
Well, can I cut this in because you didn't do your homework? So can I just say this too as well, folks? He did say you are not special and you are not exceptional. However, before he did that, he also spoke about, you know, the this being a rite of passage ceremony. Like, this is going to be your greatest ceremony of your life. Like, there is the wedding, but, you know, the men have no real say when it comes to wedding. It's mostly the bride. Like, the bride is recognized during the wedding. She comes down the aisle. She does blah, blah, blah. You know, he went through that. Then he said, you know, now we're at this ceremony, which is your graduation. And basically, it's the men and women, whether you're short, fat, tall or whatever, we're wearing the same outfit as far as the cap and gown. You know, we're at this one venue together. I don't care if you was a jock, if you was an A student, if you was a valedictorian, whatever. We're all on the same level right now. So that's where it came, you know, that's how he came up to the topic of you're not special. He was, and he even went and addressed those that, you know, that did the whole, you know, as far as getting trophies and you have been, you know, put out there to get a trophy and we have basically babied you up until now, you know, because we were afraid that you wouldn't finish. But now that you've come to this conclusion of your schooling, for most, and you may go on to do bigger and better things, but right now I want to set you out with the idea that you are not special, you are not exception. Because out of you that's graduating, and he named a couple of different locations, he said, you know, doing the math, there's technically 7,000 of you. It's not just you. I mean, you got to read the whole speech to get it. You know, a lot of the media has just took in that one line and they made it a controversy when technically there's no controversy there.
Well,
so,
can I come back?
The other thing is, you know, we have bubble wrapped you, we have protected you, this, that, and the other, and I just think it's real interesting. Go ahead.
Well, I personally believe the guy was just trying to inspire. I mean, that, in my opinion, that's all he was trying to do. And he's absolutely right. I mean, technically, a high school diploma just means you're qualified to work full-time at McDonald's. I mean, realistically, you have to go out and find some other training education somewhere else to be able to earn enough to raise a family of 3 or 2.5, whatever the average household is. And a high school diploma is going to be a
okay.
I mean, unless you go into the military, the diploma will allow you to go through the tour.
Somebody got the computer on? If you got your computer on, turn it down.
I mean,
in the background, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, somebody's echoing right now.
Okay, can I speak on that for a minute?
Sure.
Because I have a question about this. You know, when you see all of these graduations that have taken place, that have recently taken place, and you really think about, all right, now they can call in this generation, Generation X, since I was back in high school. They keep saying that basically Generation X is everybody that was born from the 60s on up until now, because they don't really know what the future holds for us in terms of so many social services are probably going to be terminated. Like, you know, they've been saying for years that Social Security is going to run out. They keep threatening to turn off food stamps and things like that. Now, I don't really have a problem with some of the welfare services because I believe that a lot of those things keep us dependent. And as long as we're dependent, then they will always have a stronghold on us without empowering them. But I've always wondered, okay, what do y'all think that today's youth, how do they feel that they want to make money outside of the entertainment industry? You know, like if y'all hadn't time to talk to some of those young people like that, like even in terms of ourselves, what do y'all think the future really holds? You know, for the young people coming up right now, just graduating high school. Like, because to me, it does. It's future. I would love to be more optimistic about it, but to me, it seems like their challenges are greater than the ones we had, because we had factories open and stuff like that when I was growing up. So there were places to get jobs. And what are they really going to do? Like, well, you know, and maybe I don't know enough, but I know I wouldn't want to be 18 years old right now, except, you know, for messing with those, you know, those gangsters out there. You know,
let me say this much. Let me say this much, and I'm glad I do have some education in journalism and everything, but I wouldn't want to be 18 right now, and... You know, if it ain't in entertainment, or if it ain't in what was the other thing I was thinking about?
The streets.
Yeah, the streets. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then what do you have?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, everybody's trying to be up on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not hiring nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Unless you are, dare I say it, special or exceptional.
Exactly. or of a lot of shade.
Mm. But now, the thing is, I get where we're going with this. However, my question now is, would this speech have made a difference if he said it to a Brooklyn graduating class than a Massachusetts graduating class?
I don't know.
What part of Massachusetts was it in?
It was in Athena.
Athena? So is that like a suburb of Boston, or is it like farther in, going west? You know, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That shit could be on Nantucket for all I know. But I know that those. All right, I've known people who went through suburban schools, and some of them cats be really thinking like they already, you know, like they already have a head start when it comes to going to college, because they really feel like they getting those college prep courses, and that they are better equipped. Well, some do and some aren't. See, when you start talking about in terms of like English, schools in urban areas and schools in the suburbs is going to be an unbalance. The suburban schools are probably going to be able to equip their students to be able to do well in English oriented classes. But when it comes to math, Either you can do the count or you can't. Either you can add or you can't. Either you can multiply or you can't. So, you know, it's pretty
it's pretty fair across the board. If you have the skills, you're going to be able to do the work. And if you don't have those skills, you're not going to be able to do it. That's why you have people who do well in math and people who do well in science. Now, as far as being able to...
I'm saying it's also a different funding. I mean, some schools are funded better depending on where they're located, depending on the tax bracket with the school is within. I mean, that's understanding. Here in, I just want to give an example locally. Here in Durham County, in Durham City Schools, the Durham County schools are excelling, but the Durham City schools, they didn't even have books for all the students. They actually had to shut down the actual city school, and the city schools were annexed by the county schools. They got to the point where the schools were just falling apart. And it was less than 5 years ago, 6 years ago, this went down. I mean, it was news reports out. I mean, I'm a grown man. I was crying.
Yeah.
Okay, can I go ahead? Oh, okay. So, can I read something to y'all real quick?
Wait. I have a question. Goldilocks and Three Bears. All right, read what you was calling.
You suck. You suck. I'm mad at it. It took me a minute for that to register, but yeah, I suck. Anyway.
Yeah, me too.
But do not get the idea you're anything special because you're not. The empirical evidence is everywhere. Numbers even an English teacher can't ignore. Newton, Natick, Needham, yes. That has to be 2,000 high school graduates right there, give or take. And that's just the neighborhood. Across the county, no fewer than 3.2 million seniors are graduating about now from more than 37,000 high schools. That's 37,000 valedictorians, 37,000 class presidents, 92,000 altos, 340,000 swaggering jocks, 2.2 pairs of Uggs. But why limit ourselves to high school? After all, you're leaving it. So think about this. Even if you're one in a million on a planet of 6.8 billion, that means
yep.
there are nearly 7,000 people just like you. Imagine standing somewhere over there on Washington Street on Marathon Monday and watching 6,800 youths go running by. And consider for a moment the bigger picture. Your planet, I'll remind you, is not the center of its solar system. Your solar system is not the center of its galaxy. Your galaxy is not the center of its universe. In fact, it assures us that the universe has no center, therefore you cannot be it. Neither can Donald Trump, which someone should tell him, although that hair is quite a phenomenon. That's what he said after he said you're not.
That's actually a damn good speech.
Right, it is. Like when I sat here and I actually got a copy, I put the link up in the chat room, and, you know, you read the speech, and it was about 10 minutes long, they say, but the speech itself is actually very good. But however, media being what it is, we always have to find a controversy. We took this one line that you are not special, and then people didn't go and look up the real actual full speech or look at it on YouTube. They only heard the part that this man told a bunch of seniors in high school that you are not special. However, when I was just hearing it on that perspective and I didn't check out the actual speech, my thing is this, and Black Reporter gave us misinformation when he said college students. But, however, still in all, yeah, once you graduate high school and, you know, majority of them are 18, technically they're grown.
Right.
They are adults. And this is something we brought up last week as well. You're at 18, according to the United States of America, you're grown. You're an adult.
You can make adult decisions. You'll be tried as adult. You can go out and get a job. You can go out and so technically you're an adult. I you know, if I kick you in your ass, you're an adult. So, you know, if these kids didn't take it out of perspective, why adults take it out of perspective?
You can go out and get killed for the country. You know.
Right. So if these kids you know, so you want to call them, I use that very lightly, these kids, these children, if they did not take this speech out of perspective, then why did these, dare I say it, adults take this whole speech out of perspective?
Because it's a soundbite.
Right.
And,
that's exactly what he said, too. Yeah, it was a soundbite, and it just spiraled out of control. But, you know.
So, yeah.
People like Black Reporter.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you'd be like when you say things like, yeah, I wouldn't hesitate to do Miley Cyrus, but then they cut out the part when I say if I was 18, you know what I'm saying? So it's all you hear, but I wouldn't hesitate to do, you know, the shit out of Miley Cyrus, and that's all they said. That's all they
right.
said.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even say that's what I said, so.
Right, but then don't you as a responsible adult or responsible reader isn't it your responsibility, I should say, to go further before you cast judgment to find out what was actually said?
Well, yeah, it was irresponsible journalism. You know, in the first place, to just put out that one soundbite without indicating what the whole statement was or the whole speech was. So they started off irresponsibly in that regard, but they knew that it would get a rise. You know, the same way they find a way to play the race cards in some ways when it's really not there, like sort of like that thing that's going on with Gwyneth Paltrow saying the word nigga. Yeah, you know what I mean, or tweeting it or whatever, but you know, but most of society don't want to read in the first place. You know, newspapers are pretty much obsolete nowadays, and for those who take time out to use the internet, they may not cruise through more than one article to try to get a more accurate understanding of what is being reported. It's the same way as if you watch Fox News, you're probably going to get a negative view of President Obama, and if you watch MSNBC, you're probably going to get a negative view of most Republicans. You still have to do your own homework, and you have to learn how to use, you know, you have to learn how to use your own discretion and how to separate what's being put out there in order to sell, generate attention, and what's really real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're not taught to do that. Of course we're not taught to do that. When they tell us to look at the news at night, they tell you three or four sentences about a story, you know what I mean? Like, then you get to the news that evening, like, they ain't really report shit. You know, like, what the fuck was this?
How is that supposed to be my homework, current or news? I didn't understand that homework assignment. We had to do that current affairs assignment for social studies. You got to look at the news. So like, why? It was just a bunch of people getting shot. What the fuck? No, anyway.
I thought you was watching the Philly news.
this is a Black Reporter's baby, so I'll let Black Reporter do his station ID. Go ahead.
Well, I know this is not the greatest start off for the show, but we will be back here next month, and it will be a better show. It took a few tries.
Come on, Black Reporter, you can't hold it, but you still got 13 minutes. You can't throw in the towel yet, nigga.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Ooh,
right, Black Reporter. Don't let me discourage.
Right, Black Reporter.
Right, don't let me discourage you.
You really do got people rooting for you.
Well, you really do got people rooting for you.
You know, look, you better talk about your Stacey Adams. I don't know. You know, I don't give a fuck. What is
it? Talk about them damn shoes. Talk about them.
Talk about what?
Whatever. This is your time to shine, Black Reporter. This is
the
time where you can just freelance. You know, when you think the topic is done, you have to think of something to freelance off of. You know how we do. That's why we know it's going to be a topic.
Black Reporter, I can help
you out.
You're diabetic, right?
Yes, I am.
Perhaps right now we could talk about new advances in treatments for diabetes. I mean, it's serious.
Give us a tip of the day, Black Reporter. Give us a tip of the day and explain
the
details. Yeah, tip of the day. There we go.
Tip of the day is to stay healthy and wise. Matter of fact, hold on a second.
Okay.
I
we're holding.
Got something here. This is from a book that I read daily.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a book called Black Pearls.
Mm-hmm.
And today's saying is about, let's see, today is the 19th, correct?
Yes.
The book is put together by Mark Kopaj. I'm sorry, Eric Kopaj.
Mm-hmm.
Does that name ring a bell to anybody?
No.
Black Pearl, is it about Wilma Rudolph?
No. What, the today's thing? No. But it's a daily thing about inspirations in African Americans. And today's inspiration is about belief. Those who believe in ghosts always see them. Now, and that was said by Charles V. Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Substitute for ghost, hope, progress, success, or whatever word you choose, and you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
When we believe that there are good and positive things in life, we will find them. When we think pessimistically, we are also going to find a lot in life to support our view. Allowing or even forcing ourselves to be positive thinkers ensures we will not become mired in the swamp of negativism. Cynicism is easy, but it causes self-defeat. Claiming that we are being realistic by being negative can be immobilizing. We focus on life's difficulties and ignore its possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Let us believe in ourselves and our visions of self-fulfillment so we can begin to attain them. The same for the day. At the end of this day, I will look for at least one good thing that has happened to me.
Okay. Sounds like a plan to me. So we're gonna get different inspirational quotes at the end of your show.
Yes, you will.
Okay.
Just
Jerry's moment.
Huh?
Jerry Springer does at the end of his show. He does.
Right, Black Reporter's final story. Right, we're going to have
Philly
theme music
hands,
and everything
Philly
in the background,
hands.
Black Reporter. We're going to have a theme music in the background and all that.
Okay. Yesterday's, I think yesterday's is also very important, and I'm sorry that we didn't do this on Brick's House, but this would have fit big time.
Mm-hmm.
Media images. Yesterday's saying was won by the great Gil Scott Heron. The revolution. The revolution will not be televised.
Right.
The revolution that African Americans are part of the one we wage to empower ourselves and strengthen our people. certainly is a quiet one, not afforded great amounts of recognition by the media, who seems fixed more often on our pathologies than our progress. Where, when we contemplate the image we see of ourselves on television, the images, I'm sorry, we need to remember that what we see is not the whole picture and is not a full representation of who we are. Let us not look to the media to validate our efforts. Let's look to ourselves. On this day, I will do at least one concrete thing that all that